10 minutes. 10 minutes is the average response time, and so I'm told, when someone calls 911. 10 minutes might not seem like a long time in some circumstances, but when there's an emergency, 10 minutes becomes a very long time to wait. And you can just imagine if 10 minutes was a long time, how frustrating it would be if you called someone in an emergency and it didn't take 10 minutes, it didn't take 10 hours, it took 4 days before help showed up. That's the situation in the story I want to read from John chapter 11 this morning, beginning at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Down to verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will live again." Down to verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Let's pray. Father God, as we come to your word this morning, we pray, Father God, that you would open our eyes and our heart to your word and the truth you'd have for us, Lord God. May we receive from you what you want to give. And Lord, may our lives be touched and changed through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 4 days. 4 long, grueling days. That's how long Mary and Martha waited after they had sent out an urgent call for help. We don't know what the problem was that Lazarus had. Obviously, he was on his deathbed of some sort. When he became seriously ill, it became very obvious to Martha and Mary that the best person to call was Jesus. Jesus was close to them. And so the sister sent the message to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." That was their way of dialing 911. The one you love is sick. In other words, we need you urgently. Help! And we assume it took at least a day or about a day for the message to get to Jesus. And I could just picture it in my mind, whoever that message bearer was, barging in and, you know, finding Jesus finally and barging in and quite possibly out of breath and eager to get the news out. Lord, the one you love is sick. A life depends on you. What could be of greater importance? Drop everything and run. And of course, everyone knew how much Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters. No one would have been surprised if Jesus did drop everything and run out to help Lazarus, made it a priority. But to the amazement of the disciples and anyone else who was there to observe, Jesus seemed to completely ignore the request for help. It's like you dial 911 and the operator says, okay, bye. Like, what? Jesus didn't get up and rush out the door. He didn't ask for who's got the fastest donkey around, you know, let's get going and sirens blaring. He stayed right where he was. For 2 more days. 2 more days before he finally set out with the disciples towards Bethany. Just try to picture that in your mind. And when they finally arrived, Lazarus was not only dead, he has also been buried, and Martha rushes out to meet Jesus, and you can just sense the tears in her voice as she cries out, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I can imagine the pain and the disappointment in Martha's voice. If you had been here, we called you. Where were you? What took you so long? And in that moment of pain, I imagine that nothing mattered more to Martha than the fact that Jesus came too late. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days now. And yet, even then, Martha had some trust in Jesus that through him, some miracle could take place. But what comfort is there when you call for help and it doesn't come right away? With Jesus taking so long to get there, it seemed, at least, that Jesus didn't care. It seemed like it wasn't high on his list of priorities for the week. And I have to say, there is nothing worse than the feeling that you've been ignored. Except maybe if you've been ignored during a time of crisis. It's pretty devastating. And the truth is that most of us could relate to Mary and Martha in some way. Who hasn't been there? Maybe not to the same extent, but maybe so. Maybe you're feeling like Martha right now. You could see it coming. There's trouble on the horizon. Things are not going the way they should. And you can usually tell something is coming. And so you call on the Lord and you pray, as you should, as you've been taught. And you pray some more. And the only problem is that things are not actually getting better, or at least they don't seem to be getting any better. They only seem to be getting worse. And so you ask others to pray, right? Which you should. And you have other people praying with you. But along the way, you get a little impatient. You trust, you exercise faith, but eventually you realize, you come to the conclusion that unless God does something soon, it's going to fall apart. It's going to happen, whatever it is that the problem is. And you get desperate. And maybe like Martha, you call out, Lord, I need you. I need you now. You ever call out to the Lord like that? And sometimes your call is met with silence. I wish I could tell you that every time you call out to the Lord, Lord, I need you now, you know, a booming voice or a soft voice comes out and maybe through someone else, and you get the assurance, you get the answer, you get that peace, but you don't always. Sometimes all you hear is silence. And slowly but surely, you begin to get that awful feeling like you've been forgotten. You've prayed, you've waited, you've prayed, you've waited some more, you've wept. And then it finally happens. For Martha and Mary, it was the death of their brother. For you, it might be something else. The job is lost. The marriage has fallen apart. The bank has foreclosed. The children have left, vowing never to return. The doctor is called. Or, as in the case of Martha, a loved one has died. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how strong you are. When something like that happens, it's going to be a bit unsettling, to say the least. You can't help but at least wonder, where was Jesus when I needed him? What kept him away? Why didn't he answer? Did I do something wrong? Yeah, we wonder. And if any of this has ever happened to you, then there's no doubt you can relate to Martha's pain. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, Lord, I was counting on you. And you didn't come through. I don't think Martha was saying that in anger. She wasn't questioning the love of Jesus. She was confused and hurt and in pain. She couldn't understand. From Martha's perspective, it seemed like Jesus didn't care. What Martha didn't know was that Jesus actually had some other plans. It turns out that Jesus knew all along what was going to happen and what he was going to do. But from Martha's perspective, Jesus seemed uninterested, when in reality, Jesus was very much interested and intentional in his actions. He knew exactly what he was doing. Could Jesus have prevented Lazarus' death? Absolutely. No question about it. Fact is, he could have done it without even going anywhere near Lazarus. He could have healed him from where he was. He just needed to say the word. He could have spared Mary and Martha the agony of seeing a loved one suffer and die. He could have. He could have spared Lazarus the pain of whatever his illness was that led to his death. But he chose not to. He saw in this sickness an opportunity to glorify the Father. When you read the rest of chapter 11, the whole part of it, you will see that that was his plan in action, to bring glory to the Father. Almost like what happened with the blind man we read about in chapter 9 earlier in the service. Why is this man born blind? And Jesus said, it will bring glory to the Father. I realize that that answer is unsettling. It's unsettling because it implies that our comfort is not God's number one priority. Well, how about that? As Christians, we like to think that it is God's job to make us as comfortable as possible, as fast as possible, to give us the largest whatever we can have as possible. We want God to take care of us as if life is a 5-star resort with a private chef and 24-hour housekeeping and endless entertainment and, of course, no sickness or sadness or pain. Oh, and you don't have to go to work either. We want God to do all that for us as if God's number one priority is our comfort. And we want to believe that if we keep our nose clean and stay out of trouble spiritually and do what we're supposed to do and come to church or watch online and send an offering, then God owes it all to us. Truth is that God's purpose for us as Christians is not that we are as comfortable as possible, but that we glorify God and bring glory to Him in all that we are and in all that we do, even in suffering. And yeah, that's hard. The fact that God loves us and we love Him is no guarantee that we're going to be sheltered from problems and pains in life. In fact, it's almost a guarantee that we are going to have them. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. The Father loves the Son, and yet He allowed the Son to go through some rotten experiences. He experienced sorrow, He experienced shame, He experienced the pain on the cross. And yet the Father loved His Son. And likewise, even though God loves us, He will allow rotten things to happen, even if we don't understand why they are happening. And we get confused. It doesn't make sense. I have a quote from a Norwegian theologian, Ole Hallesby. He offered this prayer. He prayed, Lord, if it be to your glory heal suddenly. If it will glorify you more, heal gradually. If it will glorify you even more, may your servant remain sick for a while. And if it will glorify your name still more, take him to yourself in heaven. That's a strong prayer to pray when we truly believe that. Martha and Mary couldn't understand why their brother had died. It made no sense to them. But the story didn't end there. There is a conclusion in verses 38 to 44, John chapter 11. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Mary and Martha didn't understand. They couldn't understand. But Jesus had a purpose, and Jesus had a plan, and Jesus had his own sense of timing. There are going to be times and situations when we are not going to understand. There are going to be times when God does not make sense to us. Why he does something for one person, but not for the next, it's clearly beyond my understanding. It's not because one is more worthy than the other. Sometimes we don't have those answers. We may not understand how God works. Indeed, there will be little we understand about why God does things the way he does and when he does them. But there is one thing that we can be certain about, and that is that God's timing is best. God's timing is best. If you are waiting for an answer to prayer, God's timing is best. That's not to say it's the most comfortable. That's not to say there won't be grief. But it's to say, to know, to believe that God's timing is best. I might not like it. I might not feel good waiting for it. It makes no sense at all at times, but if I'm serving the Lord, if I love the Lord, then I know that whatever happens, it is in God's hands. If I can offer you one more quote, one person put it this way: faith does not always take you out of the problem. Faith takes you through the problem. Faith doesn't always take away the pain. Faith gives you the ability to handle the pain. Faith doesn't always take you out of the storm. Faith calms you in the midst of the storm. The disciples would face many storms. It was during one such literal storm that Jesus came out on the water, when the disciples were terrified, and his words to them are the words for us: "Take courage, it is I." Whatever your storm, whatever your trial, you can put your hope and your trust in God. Jesus comes to you and says, take courage. It is I. And in the end, that is the only answer we need. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we consider this morning the reality of so many hardships that people face, some here in this congregation right now are going through or have loved ones going through some very difficult situations. They have been praying and waiting and calling. No doubt there are others online who have been in the same place. Their situations may be different, Lord, but the heart, the cry to you is the same. Lord, we need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, come. Lord. And sometimes, Lord, sometimes we hear right away, but sometimes all we hear is silence. And we don't understand, and we wait. And I pray, Father God, that for each one of us, in whatever our circumstances, whatever we're going through, Lord God, that we would see you in our mind's eye, walking out to us in that storm, and reaching out your hand to us and saying to us, to me, take courage, it is I. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Lord, may that truth be with us and written on our hearts today. And Lord, may your grace be upon those who are walking through that difficult valley right now. Bring us your peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.